Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
September call-ups. The Yankees may have thought that this was about starting a jazz band and not playing baseball. I don't know. Duke Ellis, Jason Dominguez. To sort it all out, we bring in Brendan Cuddy from The Athletic, covers the Yankees. Hey, BK, how are you?
Laurie, I'm doing well, but the natives, they are restless.
The natives have been calling into my my program this evening, and I'll tell you, yes, the topic might be what you would think, Jason Dominguez. And let's start off with just from your perspective and those of the other beat writers and people around the Yankees, even, is Jason Dominguez, well, let's start. Why is Jason Dominguez not with the Yankees right now? Why is it Duke Ellis? Are you there?
Sorry, I apologize. I had you on mute. I just cooked a burger, and I didn't want you guys to hear me chewing and being disgusting. So I apologize.
Oh, I thought it was a dramatic pause. Like, there was no good answer to that question. Like, Jason Dominguez should of course be with the Yankees. But Brian, we don't hear from Cashman. We hear from Aaron Boone. And supposedly there was no lane. I didn't realize we were bowling.
Well, listen, Lori, if you want, drama, just imagine a lightning strike behind me, thunder crashing. Before I give you this explanation, the explanation is the majority of the Yankees brass don't believe he's totally ready yet when compared to Alex Verdugo. Now, you might think that is wild. Can I offer an explanation?
Sure.
The Yankees prioritize left field defense. They did it for years with Brett Gardner. They did it for years with other players. And, you know, they put a premium on left field defense. Left field at Yankee Stadium might be the toughest left field out there. Alex Verdugo handles it with ease. Now, Yankees fans may be scarred from watching Alex Verdugo turn over on ground balls to second base over and over again throughout this season, but the Yankees really, they value highly his ability to go and get it out in left field. Hey, at Triple A this year, despite the glowing offensive numbers for Jason Dominguez, my understanding is that there's been a little bit of growing pains in left field, in center field. Remember, he's only 21 years old. He's still got some things to learn out there, and there may not be that comfort level compared to Alex Verdugo. When you look at the Yankees lineup and say, if you're really depending on Alex Verdugo to win games for you, if you're really depending on Jason Dominguez to win games for you, you've got bigger problems than Alex Verdugo or Jason Dominguez, right? It should be Juan Soto. It should be Aaron Judge. It should be Giancarlo Stanton, Gleyber Torres. It should be Anthony Rizzo. It should be Gleyber Torres. And then you start talking about the Alex Verdugos of the world. So I think that is the primary reason. And look, Alex Verdugo has baked himself into the fabric of this team. He is a key member of the clubhouse. And he's someone the Yankees still see offensive upside in. If you look over his last eight games, I believe he's in 367. Like, there are some firsts there. And one more thing, and this is not current reporting. This is from spring training. In talking to some members of the Yankees' instruction staff and their coaching staff, Alex Verdugo and the way he can put the ball to the bat, it could be a big deal in the playoffs. Because he's someone who offers a different look from the left side, somewhat of a contact look, as opposed to the big thumpers in the Yankees lineup. So when you think in previous seasons, right, against the Houston Astros, the Yankees getting mowed down by their power arm. You think of the Cleveland Guardians, who for years always have really good pitching staffs, and the Yankees would have a hard time scratching another run. It's the same vein as when the Yankees got Andrew Benintendi a couple of years ago, before he had his hammy injury, a guy who has like high contact skills who can disrupt, at the plate. Alex Verdugo is of that mold. So that was a long soliloquy. I'll get off my soapbox. I'm not defending it. I'm telling you my understanding of the move.
How much is Cashman paying you for that answer?
$0. But if anyone wants to Venmo me, I'll post it on Twitter after that.
Okay. All right. All right. I get that that was the party line and the explanation. And you're probably or possibly right about, I'm sure your reporting is good, but I start with, I thought that your colleague from The Athletic, Chris Kirshner, wrote an interesting article where he talked about that our eyes, a couple of years ago for the Yankees, we all watched IKF play shortstop for the Yankees. And we watched it month after month, week after week. And he wasn't great. But the Yankees kept insisting everything was fine, nothing to see here. And then we got to the postseason, and he wasn't great. And suddenly there was like panic mode, and they you know, they're tossing like Oswaldo Cabrera out there. And with the, I guess Chris's point was, and I think there's a lot of validity to this, is if you're wondering that you're not necessarily comfortable right now, this moment, as we sit here on September 1st with Jason Dominguez's outfield defense in left field at Yankee Stadium, then why not play? Why not give Jason Dominguez most of the starts? Not, it doesn't have to be all, and Verdugo can have some of them, but 5 out of 7 games, give Dominguez significant playing time in left field, put up with some of the growing pains, get him comfortable during the month of September, because the upside of that bat, switch hitting bat, and the potential, when you think of Alex Verdugo and the upside, number one, we've seen it over his career, who he is. You know, he told us who he's shown us who he is. We know who he is. And when you look at this season, you can use the stats from the last week and say he's had a good last week, but that still doesn't change the fact that he has been one of the absolute worst hitters and outfielders in baseball in, you know, May, June, July, and August. 4 months of atrocity. So why wouldn't, you know, I think of players like, I don't know why Randy Arozarena came to mind. And I realize it's a huge upside, you know, player to say as a comp. But it's when somebody has tools and potential, you just never know when you're going to strike that lightning in a bottle, and this player with all these tools and potential goes on a run. And I don't know why the Yankees wouldn't want to at least see if they could get that out of Dominguez.
Hey, Lori, I'm with you. Like, I think that would be more exciting. I'd rather watch that if I'm a fan. I get it. But I love Chris to death. And I'm not even arguing. I wouldn't even argue with him on this. Because IKF did not pan out, right? But the counterpoint would be, who was everyone clamoring for in 2022 instead of IKF? Maury, who was it?
Well, Chris's point would be Peraza, but the point is, I guess, even whether it was that.
No,
or someone...
No, because Peraza, where is he now?
I understand, but the point is, if it was about, in that case, you were valuing competent defense at shortstop, a premium position, frankly, more if the Yankees value left field, in that case, it was shortstop, more of a premium position that you better get right defensively. Give somebody a chance to play it competently. In this case, I'm saying, and the whole Verdugo and Judge are friends, Doogie, he's our buddy. I always feel like with clubhouse chemistry, I mean, winning is good for clubhouse chemistry. And this has been they had a great start to the season, but they've been kind of a 500 team for a while now. And if they're going to fulfill their potential in the playoffs, you know, we can talk about that it's going, of course, there's Judge and Soto, and where they go, so go with the Yankees and Stanton, and you want to keep them healthy, of course, all of that. But If the Yankees want to win a World Series, get past a team like the Orioles, I would think that you want to put your best players on the roster. Is, in your opinion, is Jason Dominguez one of the 28 best players on the Yankees roster?
I'm not a talent evaluator. I'm not going to tell you who he is or isn't. I am going to tell you that Oswald Peraza was a really highly regarded prospect throughout the game 2 years ago, just like Jason Dominguez is now. Listen, the Yankees give the prospects they really believe in, they give them shots. Anthony Volpe, Austin Wells. If the Yankees don't believe in someone, they don't get at-bats over the person they believe in more. They don't get playing time over the person they believe in more. Look, Yankees fans and the New York Yankees, they all want the same thing, even if Yankees fans don't want to admit it. They all want to win. So if you want to talk about, you know, live with the growing pains of Jason Dominguez and there's no way he could be worse than Alex Verdugo, you're wrong, because he can. That's a reality. That's a possibility.
Yeah, but don't you want to find that out in September, right now, giving him an opportunity to see if these growing pains are actually not going to be that, you know, that he can get used to it and be a much better impact player for them in the postseason. And if not, you know what? Verdugo's still on the roster, and I'm not suggesting that he gets DFA'd, and I'm not suggesting that he never sees the light of day. He, you know, you can play him, but yeah, you're giving the higher upside player with better potential to be an impact player that could energize a lineup and a team that has, you know, overall as a team, you know, kind of been a pretty mediocre team.
So you know who's a better comp for the argument that you're making? It's Austin Wells. Austin Wells, the Yankees weren't sure totally that he could handle defensively the full-time workload, that he could hit lefties, that he should be playing every day. Over Jose Trevino, they had him in an everyday platoon, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was righty-lefty. He's a better comp than Peraza and IKF 2 years ago. So, yeah, sure. You could make all the arguments you're making, and I don't think you're wrong. And I absolutely would love to see Jason Dominguez up here and see what he's got, right? But, like, the Yankees are trying to win games right now. The Yankees right now, I don't know what the score is between the Orioles and the Rockies right now. But if the Orioles win tonight, they go a game up. They go a half game up in the division, first place. So you have to be, you're trying to win games now. You're not trying to test flight for September. You're trying to win games now. My guess here is that the Yankees, again, who are, you know, this is not a good argument on my end, right? These guys are paid to develop players and should be experts at it. This is what they feel is the move. They're not always right. And a lot of times they kind of dismiss what fans think is right and end up being wrong. But, like, this is what they want to win games too. And this seems like the path they want to take for now.
Yeah, or by the way, the Orioles did win, but the Yankees are a half game up on the Orioles in the division. And the other thing that I think fans do also wonder about is the 130 at bat cutoff for to still maintain rookie eligibility and control as far as that goes, all of that, the rookie eligibility. And with Dominguez having 35 at-bats, would it surprise you if in about a week, when he's not going to get to the 130 level, that he's suddenly called up at that point?
I mean, that would surprise me, because we're not... I want fans to understand that, right? We're not talking about service time manipulation here. Dominguez has been down long enough to buy him an extra year in service time, in the major league.
Right, there's the rookie eligibility thing for a draft pick. Well, if he wins rookie of the year, I don't know. Is that something they're thinking of?
That's such a pie-in-the-sky
question.
No, it's not. Because I know that Jason Dominguez, I know for a fact through reporting, that Jason Dominguez was heavily discussed and argued and thought about for a call-up today. So if he was hotly debated, it wouldn't have been an administrative issue that kept him down. It'd be a, is he a better option today than Alex Verdugo is?
Yeah, it just seems so short-sighted to not take the chance on something better. All right, what did you think? Another big topic, of course, it won't surprise you, was it was a really bad ball game on both teams defensively on Sunday. Juan Soto's defense has been, by and large, fine. You know, for most of the season, looked. You know, obviously, it looked bad on Sunday. Should some of that be on Yankees from a coaching staff and a positioning standpoint to help him out there? That he just seems so out of position.
You know, I don't know, to tell you the truth. I have to do more reporting on that. You know, post game was a little, a little bit of a slog, and guys were getting out of here, so I didn't have a ton of time to, you know, really bang guys on that. But there's two thoughts here, right? Either the Yankees had Soto potentially positioned poorly, right, on those two balls in the 10th inning where they kind of went over his head. Because you're playing in right field at Yankee Stadium. Why would you ever play him right field at Yankee Stadium? Soto doesn't have the best arm in the world, but he's got an arm good enough to play several feet back. That being said, the Yankees outfielders are given cards that they keep in their hat. Or they keep in their back pocket. And it's positioning card. It tells them where to stand relative to which hitter. And then there's guidance from the dugout.
Right.
Or for the infielders, Travis Chapman is, you know, shifting Jazz Chisholm left and right.
Mm-hmm.
For the outfield, there's this Luis Rojas who's shifting the outfield left and right. But there's a third layer of player discretion where Juan Soto says, you know what? I'm going to play in a little bit more because I don't believe in this guy. So maybe there was that. Maybe Juan Soto was playing in because he felt like, okay, so-and-so, bars, new bar, I don't think you're going to rock one over the fence right now. and he does. Or he puts it almost over the fence. So there's that layer too. I'm just explaining how it can go. I'm not giving you an answer because I don't know. I don't know whether it was the Yankees coaching staff that had him in. I don't know if Juan Soto who was too far in. I can't tell you that right now, but those are the mechanisms there.
Yeah. Talking to Brendan Cuddy from The Athletic about the Yankees. On a more positive note, Anthony Rizzo back. What was some of the reactions from Rizzo? And he looked good out there.
Yeah, he looks all right, right? Like
offensively, defensively, all of it. He looked like Anthony Rizzo today.
Yeah, he looked okay. Like so, the double he hit was kind of on a looping curveball, 80 something miles an hour, that he popped to left field, which is one a very Anthony Rizzo swing, but also not something to get super hyped about, right? Because DJ LeMay, you can still drive balls 80 miles an hour the other way. So, you know, you have to take that into account. But defensively, he looked really good.
Yeah, that bunt, covering that bunt and getting the runner, lead runner at third. I mean, you know, that's a difference-making play.
I love the play getting the lead runner at third. And here's a sneaky play that I love for him. Volpe makes it. You know, Volpe doesn't get enough credit for some of the silly picks he makes. Like one hop pick, sliding, going the other way, looking like Zorro putting his cape up, and then turning and firing. And, you know, a less sure first baseman is out there trying to stretch forward, trying to get his arm all the way out there and try to make the catch, try hard type deal. Rizzo's seen that 8,000 times. He caught that ball at his chest, taking a quick step forward. Like, it was like nothing. It was like a walk in the park.
Mm-hmm.
It was like I don't know, like a behind-the-back pass from a smooth point guard. It was just like, this guy knows what he's talking about. So it was cool to kind of see someone at first base who could be really good defensively, but offensively, before the game,
mm-hmm.
Anthony Rizzo, I asked him this directly, like, man, offensively, your numbers haven't and your production hasn't been good since your concussion last year. Are you going to come back and be Anthony Rizzo? And, like, honestly, he talked around it a little bit. You know, he said that's the intention. So I don't know that he knows. I don't know that he knows. Huh. I don't know that he knows. You know?
Yeah, and that's surprising.
But the mindset is, hell yeah, I'm going to go out there and do it. And look, we're talking about a guy who's 34, 35, I'm 37. He's 35. He's got an option for next year that the Yankees are probably not going to pick up. He's made a ton of money in his life. Like, he may look at September as, yo, I'm running into the sunset, where we don't know, mm-hmm. right? But he may look at it as, I'm giving it one last go. I don't know what I got, but I hope I got something. So that may be how he sees it.
The other thing, again, if we're sticking for a positive one, so two more questions before I let you go. This one's a positive one, is we haven't seen somebody with the kind of speed that Jazz Chisholm brings to a ball game, and what we saw out of him today, the manufacturing of runs where you're just driving people crazy on the bases, that's a dimension. If you want to talk about come postseason, you know, you were talking about what Verdugo could bring. I'm not convinced, but okay. But Jazz Chisholm, I could see where that kind of speed on the bases, you know, is just incredibly exciting to watch from a fan perspective. But was there any reaction to his base running from the team after the game?
No, because there were 33 hits in today's game. And everything was super ugly otherwise. And I mean, I even wrote in my story for tomorrow that the fans were treated to something uglier than the this year's presidential race. But I got pulled out because, you know, we're all the newer fans. So that's fine. No, that didn't come up. But, like, if we're being honest, Jazz Chisholm plays with a smoothness of someone who the game just comes to him naturally. Like, it's innate. Someone who pushes the envelope, someone who gets into a position and just kind of knows what he's doing. You know, he goes to third base and it's like, oh, wait a second. You're a second baseman center fielder and now you're playing third base and you know what you're doing. So that's all to say, when the playoffs come around, he's such a wild card because he's so fast. He's so smart, and he's so quick, and he moves so well. Like, who the hell knows what he can do and what he's capable of? We've seen him rock a whole bunch of homers, right? Like, is he going to be Harrison Bader, who, you know, 2022 comes off the IL, slams like five home runs in the ALDS, ALCS, whatever it was, and does that? Or, you know, because he's capable of it. Or is he going to be this guy who's wreaking havoc on the bases, making cool plays at third base, and also hitting home runs? Like, the sky is really high for him.
All right, last one before I let you go real quick is just the Cardinals had 21 hits today. And so how concerned should Yankee fans be about this pitching staff and this bullpen? They got Scott Efros back. They called up Ron Marinaccio. But meanwhile, the bullpen, they gave up 21 hits today.
I mean, it kind of feels like the Yankees starting rotation is good for one blow-up per series at this point, right? Because, I mean, I don't know if you want to remove Will Warren from that equation, but if it's not Will Warren, every third or fourth star, it's Carlos Rodon. Every third or fourth star, it's Nestor Cortez. Every third or fourth star, we're talking about Gerrit Cole, and is he fully back from his injury? I don't know. It's so wildly unpredictable, right? Because they were so good for so long, and they were so terrible for so long. And then they found some kind of equilibrium that still is like walking through a minefield, right? You don't know whether your leg's going to get blown off or if you're going to make it to the other side. And then you talk about the bullpen, right? You know, you got the double matinee of Scott Efros and Ron Marinaccio today. Two guys were in the back of the bullpen who the Yankees did not want to pitch today. Right? They wanted to go with the studs and win the series. And, you know, things did not work out for either Scott Efros or Ron Marinaccio. And I would temper some of the enthusiasm of seeing Scott Efros up, right? Because he was passed over a little bit. He was left to cook a little bit at AAA after his rehab assignment because he was still building velocity. He was still building back stuff. We're talking about a guy who had Tommy John surgery and back surgery. So you're wondering, like, hey, man, is it still in there? So when it comes to the Yankees pitching staff on a whole, I say, you know, are you walking across the street blindfolded a little bit with that?
Well, that's a nice image to leave Yankee fans with. On that note, finish your hamburger and really appreciate BK always you hopping on. And thanks so much for the inside knowledge as always. Have a good night. We'll catch up with you soon.
Laura, you guys have no idea. Like between like when you were asking me questions, I was hitting mute, slamming my burger, and making sure I got it down before I answered the question. I'm disgusting. I'm a disgusting human being, Laura.
You're a friend of the program. Appreciate it as always. Take care. I'll talk with you soon.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.